Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Okay, well, let's move on. This past Tuesday, the Singapore Parliament passed a law requiring virtual assets service providers to be licensed if they want to do business overseas. So it's an attempt by the Monetary Authority of Singapore to ensure that it has adequate supervisory oversight over crypto and other service providers, brings oversight to those firms to make sure that there's no money laundering, et cetera, counterterrorism financing, all of those sorts of issues. Joining us now to give us more insight on this new law and what impact it might have is Angie Lau, the founder and editor-in-chief of Fortcast News, a former Bloomberg journalist for many years, a good friend. Angie, great to have you back on the show.
Absolutely. Hi, Glenn. Hi, Neil.
So tell us about this law. Many jurisdictions now are looking more closely at crypto, NFTs, anything that is happening in the digital currency space. How important are these new laws in Singapore? Will they have much impact on the trading space?
I think it already has. Singapore in 2021 was very welcoming in its language. Open arms, it appeared, from the Monetary Authority of Singapore, saying that crypto should not be clamped down. And in less than a year, I would say that the chill has arrived to the crypto business community there in Singapore. There are about 100 applications that are in front of the MAS right now for ability and license to do crypto exchange and crypto business in Singapore. Only three have been approved, and we've seen sort of a migration, possibly an exodus, of many crypto firms heading out of Singapore and into other jurisdictions.
Is there a logical place that they're going to? I've heard about Dubai. You talked about the digital in the desert, crypto in the desert. Is there another place that is the obvious winner at the moment?
I don't think anything's obvious right now, because where Singapore once seemed to be the obvious winner because it was so welcoming and there was really a recognition that Singapore is one of the gold standards when it comes to financial regulations in the world, that if it were to be the leading jurisdiction to think about how to regulate crypto in a holistic way, that would be very informative for the rest of the world. I don't doubt that Singapore still has the ability to do so, but it is walking forward with a little bit of trepidation, especially since its latest moves. Look, I don't disagree with this latest move. It is about reputational risk of Singapore, and very specifically concerned that there is this halo around any crypto business that is set up in Singapore, and then communicating that to a crypto global community that may or may not even know how to look up on an MAS site whether or not it has a license or doesn't have a license. And so Singapore is doing the right thing in the global community in terms of protecting its own reputational risk. However, based on some of the communications and the moves and the lack of speed and welcoming for some of these applications, I think that has created concerns about operational risk for business. And there's this, you know, Glenn and Neil, there, I don't know how much people perceive of crypto. You know, there is still very much this perception that, oh, it's really scary and terrorist financing and all the rest. That is a very pervasive narrative, and one that's not necessarily right, and one that jurisdictionally it's convenient to trot out without being thoughtful and intellectual about the regulatory space. And I think there is really an opportunity for Singapore to, instead of saying, you know what, let's not do marketing for retail investors and you know, coming to the regulatory space through enforcement, as we've seen in the US with the SEC. But if that at the end of the day is the goal, then take the time to really be thoughtful about exactly how to create a jurisdiction, a regulatory environment in which retail investors can feel really safe.
Right.
And that is a journey right now for Singapore.
That is truly fascinating what you're saying there, Angie, because I'm hearing two spheres here, almost two silos. On the one hand, you've got the business silo. Let's not discourage investment and a degree of speculation in this country. But on the other hand, and this is why the government perhaps introduced the law into Parliament on Tuesday, you've got the public silo, when there's often a lack of awareness, a lack of education on things like cryptocurrency, which is also why Singapore has discouraged companies in the cryptocurrency space from advertising their services in public, which you might suggest would be contradictory, because if they're not advertising, then there's a lack of awareness. So as I understand it, the Singapore government is trying to walk this fine line between encouraging investment, but at the same time making sure that the public are not having the wool pulled over their eyes. Mm. So where do we find that line? Because it seems to be a very thin one, Angie.
It's got to be a courageous one, and it's got to be a one of conviction, a political conviction. But, you know, there's a lot of political headwinds, obviously, for Singapore. In this current geopolitical environment, there's a lot of pressure, and Singapore has this reputation of gold standard regulatory in Asia. And if you take a look around the region, there is no doubt. I mean, there's a very clear reason why Forecast, born in 2018, is now one of the most prominent, dare I say,
it sounds like you are saying
news organizations. News organizations.
You're allowed.
Thanks to our readers who also you know, give us that credo. But we're the only ones who have that perspective from Asia, right? That's the story that we are seeing very clearly from Asia. Asia is part of this crypto global story. You cannot ignore that, and so when we do our reporting in Singapore and in Hong Kong and Thailand, Indonesia, Korea, et cetera, India, et cetera, et cetera, Singapore has a very critical role to play,
right,
in that Southeast Asia is an enormous opportunity for where crypto innovation is already flourishing.
Right. So just to follow up, Angie, sorry to jump in there, but just to follow up. So how do we change the perception, and should we change the perception? Because I just threw a question out on Facebook, should crypto be licensed, controlled in Singapore? And Mike, one of our listeners, has chipped in and said, yes, especially money launderers from China. And that's exactly what we're talking about with perception. When you say, right or wrong, but when you say crypto to certain people, you hear money laundering, you hear money washing, and so on and so on. So how do we change that perception, or should we?
Well, so first of all, the technology is so specific that you are very clear on where that money originated, every hand that it passes. You've heard of a lot of these crypto hacks and the inability of these hackers to actually, you know, get away with money, because they're all tracked down. It's all on blockchain. And so this is where we are today with KYC and AML. This is where the industry is today. That's very clear. The industry is very clear that the regulatory space must be part of the crypto growth story. And one of the most incredible things about crypto is that it actually allows the average person to participate in the global economy in a one-to-one way than ever before. It is transforming it is allowing wealth generation in parts of the world that had zero access to that. Take a look at rural parts of India. Take a look at what's happening in Africa. This is now access to finance that was not available before.
Banking the unbanked, as it were, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So this perception does exist, but there's a system that is also trying to figure out, and I'm talking about the traditional and the legacy system of finance, that also sees a lot of benefits and sees concerns that it is going to replace and transplant itself into the daily lives of people. And I think therein is the bigger issue.
Yeah, we're speaking with Angie Lau, the founder and editor-in-chief of Forecast News. And if you are not up to speed, or if you are up to speed on blockchain, on crypto, on NFTs, if you want to learn more about that, I strongly suggest you go to Forecast, Forkast.news. That is her website, and they cover all of these issues at, you know, very, very well. And I'm as you can tell, I'm a fan as well, Angie, because you are talking about it in a way that doesn't talk down to people, but really gives people the understanding of what's happening in this ecosystem. And as we look around the ecosystem, look, people often confuse blockchain with crypto, with NFTs, with all, and they conflate them all into one big, I don't know what's going on, and so I just put my head in the sand. And I think it's really important that people understand that these things are not to be feared, but they are here and they are not going away. And the future, in fact, will rely much more on these than I think many people realize. As you are now in your second year with Forecast? Is it 2 years now?
We're going into our fourth year now.
Fourth year, excuse me.
Yes.
Are you seeing that there is somewhat more understanding coming forward, or is it because every time something new comes up, like a new NFT, that people are just even more confused? Do you find that there is some better amount of information that's reaching people?
We're trying to do our part. We're trying to do our part. And this space was very lean in terms of information.
Right.
Even just a couple of years ago. And I'm really thrilled to see more and more of our peers get into this space. You know, once it's, upon a time, it really just did feel like the few of us who was starting Forecast was working on this. We are now a team of 50 with some of the best journalists, and you'll know them by name in the world. And I'm so thrilled to have world-class journalists sit on the team and lead this coverage. And it is exactly for that reason, is because more and more people are just so hungry to understand beyond why prices are going up and down, and really is the only narrative around here. This is really scary, and I should, you know, just try to stick my head in the sand, and it's for drug dealers. I mean, there are a lot of very strong narratives that persist, but they're getting really old, and they're getting really, really tired.
And debunked as well, right?
Day,
yeah.
Absolutely debunked. Look, Singapore itself, Temasek and other sovereign investment vehicles are all in and have led rounds of some of the top crypto firms in the world, including the top crypto exchanges in the world, including FTX and the like. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, okay, if the Singaporean government is looking to invest the capital of its people, of its country's future in crypto, why can't it be good enough for its retail investors? And should there be more effort in helping people understand why and creating those opportunities for businesses? And to be clear, that's what Singapore is doing, but with some recent moves and recent legislation. I think the message is being sent that there could be operational risk remaining in Singapore, and Dubai is getting a lot of these crypto firms, including Singapore-based firms that are heading to Dubai to set up either regional head offices or main head offices. The audience, the smart people also recognize it can't just be that one headline.
Right.
Let's look around for smarter coverage. And there's a lot of smart coverage out there. And I'm proud to say that our team has broken exclusives out of Asia. We have a very specific Asia perspective. We think the Asia story is part of the crypto story, very clearly.
Angie, if I could just jump in, because we did have another reader's comment that I wanted to get to. And Sheila said it would be prudent to do so, to organize, legislate, to do so, particularly if there is a high probability that crypto will be used to hide assets or used for criminal activities. So there's that comment again. We're up against the clock. So, Angie, apart from reading Forecast News, we recommend all our listeners to go to Forecast News. What would be the one takeaway you would give to the crypto skeptic?
Here's what I would say. Jump in and start exploring for yourself. And I would say stop outsourcing to these narratives and really explore the story beyond. That is a very popular narrative. And to be sure, when money is involved, crime is involved. But do we blame the Singapore dollar for the crime? Do we blame the US dollar to be instigators of the crime? KYC and AML is happening right now in crypto. That is very clear. What it actually is the speed of the transactions and the ability for people to engage peer-to-peer without a third party. So think about that. It is disintermediating legacy institutions. That's why this is a very powerful story and one that is very challenging for a lot of governments and institutions right now to try to figure out how it could coexist with the system that we have. And I do believe so. I do believe so. But we all have to be really intellectually honest about these conversations.
So do your research, do your homework. Don't just rely on narratives that have been put out there already. I think that's great advice.
And go to Forecast News.
You guys.
Angie Lau, founder and editor-in-chief of Forecast News, FORKAST.news. Angie, if you wouldn't mind sticking around on our Facebook live page for Money FM and answer any other questions, put in links if you have links for information. That would be great. We'd appreciate if you do that for us.
Sounds great.
Yeah. In the meantime, thanks for being with us. Hope to have you on again.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.